plenty of decks don't get to draw three cards for one mana.
Well, I mean, all the good ones do.
Hi, I'm Jake.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome back to another week of Cantrip Cartel. We've got some fun gaming news to talk about this week. The TLDR, big win for gamers again. The Tarkov, it doesn't have to do with Tarkov, but like the whole Tarkov gamers winning has carried over to a much larger group of gamers winning, and I'm excited to talk about that.
Yep.
But before we get into that, Matt, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm okay. Another easy day at work. Two pretty easy days in a row. Like, enough driving. My days have been kind of front-loaded, so, like, I'll have some stuff to do in the morning, then, like, do, like, some, like, cleaning up around the shop, run a couple runs, and then, like, from, like, 1 o'clock on, I'll just sit and just fuck around on my phone for, like, 3 or 4 hours straight and then go home.
So, it's got to be something to do with, like, the plan the jobs for the day all get started in the morning, and they all kind of run together, and then by the end of the day, those jobs are done, and no one has, like, sold anything that needs done today, so
yep.
You're good to go.
Yep. So, you know, and it's just, like, there's still guys out there working, but, like, it'll be, you know, dudes that are, that don't need parts, stuff like that. So, that's
been going lots of little jobs can get done just off the truck.
Yeah, although there's been a lot of problems, let's just say that. We had an HR meeting, I think it was either last week, did I talk about that, the HR meeting?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, so we had an HR meeting, and I won't go into a ton of details.
I want names and addresses.
Well, the reason I don't want to go into a ton of details about what other people said is what's in there is supposed to be, you know, for the people that are in there. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to violate that trust. So I will discuss what I discussed, which I have been open with everybody about already. My boss even told me, because, like, I was like, I'm going to talk about this, this, and this. If you don't want me to come to this meeting you don't want either A, me to get in trouble, or B, me to get someone else in trouble, tell me now, because, like, I don't want to go to this meeting. It's an HR meeting. I have no, the HR departments, in my opinion, are useless. They're actually worse than useless. They're counterproductive to 99% of businesses, including ours. So, like, I don't want to be there. So if you don't want me to go there, I'm not going to go.
Yep.
I'd be happy to not go. But if I go, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to lie. So if she asks questions, I'm going to give her answers, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because their job is supposedly to get to the truth.
While we're on this really quick before we get too deeper, because you don't like HR departments, which is fine. If you, as a listener, like HR departments, that's cool. Good for you. I will say to everyone, HR is not on your side. Just keep that in mind.
No.
Whether you like HR departments or not, whether you feel they serve a useful function, they are not on your side. They are not here to protect you. They are here to protect the company. So keep that in mind as you go forward with your life.
Mostly to protect the company from you.
Like... Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. I'm not saying you have to hate them. I am saying you have to understand your relationship with them.
Yeah. So it was just a few of us in there because they broke it down by departments. And ours was the non-management office staff. So I don't want to go into specifics, but you can probably imagine how many people were there. Let's say less than five.
Yeah.
So it's me, there's a few other people, and like the HR lady asked, she's like, so what things are going well? And we literally all just sat there.
And no one said anything.
No one said anything.
Yep. What are you happy about right now? Crickets.
Right. And then she was like, well, okay, what's not going well? And I looked at one of my other coworkers and I was like, you want me to handle this?
Yeah.
And I just went off about all the stupid part stuff.
How long is the room reserved for?
Right. The funny thing is, like, it's the first time... Like, you know how, like, a lot of times, like, HR people, they want you to just keep talking.
Yeah.
Like, in these kind of settings. She basically had to cut us off.
Uh-huh.
And, like, move us on to the next topic. But I was just, like, I just let her rip. And I was, like, there were multiple things. It wasn't just the parts thing. But I was, like, hey, you know, we fired a bunch of people before Christmas. And we're supposed to be, like, I see, like, stuff about us all being a family together. And I was, like, that doesn't seem like something you do to family. I was like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, I was like, I've lost benefits since I started here. I'm not okay with that. Like, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, well, here you go. And she's just typing it all down.
I
was just like, okay, lady. Like, you want to know.
I hope you don't get a rough email in the next 2 weeks.
Well, I don't even check my email. If they want to fire me, they're going to have to do it through a person because I don't check my email anymore. Like, that was one of the reasons why I hated that position I was in is, like, I was literally, like, on my email all day. I composed and sent more emails doing that job for like, I think I was doing it technically for eight months, but really in earnest for about six. And it was like, that's more than I've, in total, than I've ever sent in my entire life.
That's hilarious.
I mean, you saw, like, I would show you, like, just here's the number of emails I've sent just because they sent the wrong fucking part. And it was just like hundreds.
It took a lot of content to create a little bit of work.
Yeah, so it was just, so work's been going well as far as that stuff is, you know, it's whatever. I doubt we'll hear anything about it. One of the things that I hadn't really ever told any of my bosses or anything like this, but I was like, I would love it if instead of a raise, I could get more PTO. Like, if that was a negotiable thing, like, if you're going to give me a raise that, let's just pick a number, say my raise is going to cost you $1,000 this year. I'd take $750 worth of PTO.
Yeah. Just take some more time off.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Especially to me, like, I look at it as like, I can make a couple percent more on what I'm already doing, or you could pay me to literally do nothing. And the, like, the ROI, in my opinion, if you don't actually just need the couple percent to make ends meet, is like way better on PTO than it is for a raise.
In general, the option of just, taking an extra 3 days of vacation this year, and huge, amazing, over making an extra, what, $15 a week?
Right.
Yeah, who cares?
Yep.
That's usually what you're talking about. Because, like, a small raise you're going to get, it'll give you, like, what, a 3% raise is probably 20 cents an hour?
Yeah, something like that.
Like for people like us, like, making an extra 20 or 20 cents an hour, which is going to be an extra, $10 a week, I'd rather just get to take another 4 days off this year.
Right. Well, and the funny thing is, it's actually better for everybody. Because, like, in general, people with more PTO time, perform better. Obviously there's a limit to this, right? Like, you can't be one of the higher ups and be like, well, I'm going to take the equivalent of my raise would be 3 weeks off, and I'm going to stack that over the next 3 years. So, like, I just work 6 months out of the year. Fuck you. Like, there's got to be like some give and take here, but like, say everybody's acting in good faith and being reasonable here. Like, the fact of the matter is PTO also isn't taxed in the same way. So, like, if you give me a raise, like, say you're going to spend $1,000 more on me this year, right? I have to pay taxes on that. So the government's going to take a wet fucking 25% bite out of my ass on that. So I'm only ever going to see $750 of that anyways, right?
Yeah.
But it still costs our company $1,000. And the funny thing is, it actually costs them more than that because there's taxes that they pay. For example, Social Security tax. The Social Security tax is paid half by your employer and half by you. So, like, for them to give me $1,000, they also had to pay an additional, like, whatever, 3 or 5% on top of that. Whereas if you just go, here's more PTO, it costs them nothing extra this year. And, like, the fact of the matter is within reason, as long as everybody's, again, on the same page and team, like, me taking an extra couple days off over the course of the year doesn't make any difference to anybody. Like, I mean, obviously, we can't be having, like, again, the 6 month or more, like, the wacky shit. But, like, if I had four extra PTO days, no one would even notice.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
And you can tell because the people higher up in management have more time off.
Yep, and so, no one cares.
And no one cares. So, like, I would rather have that. Everybody wins. I actually get what I want. It costs the company less money. In general, happiness levels and job satisfaction levels are higher with more time off. Like, it's a all-around scenario. And by presenting it as a choice, the people who actually just would rather have the money get the money.
Did they say yes?
She wrote it down as an idea. I doubt anything will ever come of it because, quite frankly, it seems like we live in a world where good ideas are just, like, shit upon. And I'm just being a little cynical here, but, like, I don't see the downside to this at all.
I'm sure someone will, don't worry. But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, like, you literally would just go, okay. And you just make me sign a thing. Like, here's your thing for your raise. You can either have this package or this package. This is your compensation for the next year.
Yeah.
And one includes a 2% raise or a 3% raise or whatever the fuck it is. And the other one doesn't include the monetary raise. It just, you now have this amount of PTO. And the funny thing is, this is already baked in the system anyways, because over time you do get more PTO. So like, it's not like they don't have the capability to increase people's PTO either.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, I would assume, involve this roughly the same amount of effort as increasing their pay within payroll. So like, I'm just like, I thought about it, and I'm sure like everything. So one of the things, I forget who said it. It might've been Thomas Sowell, an economist. There are no such thing as solutions. There are only trade-offs. I'm sure there's some sort of trade-off that I'm not seeing.
Yeah.
And I'm not arguing that it's a perfect solution.
Well, it's probably one of those that, like, they could offer it to you because you're a parts runner and your position is really easily replaced, but they can't also offer that to all the technicians. They can't have a slow accumulation of
PTO.
Extra PTO for technicians, and so that's what'll ruin it.
Well, the funny thing is, though, you're saving money, right? Just hire more technicians.
What, so they can fire them before Christmas?
Yeah. We got to get that family as big as possible. So when we call 20% of it.
I'm so glad you got to be in the meeting and got to tell the person, like, hey, what do you guys think about the company? It's like, well, you guys fired people before Christmas. That's pretty douchey to do, isn't it?
Yeah. Like I said, dude, there have been things we couldn't say on this podcast that we shouldn't say on this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't fucking lie in general. I'm not saying I've never lied. But like, if you ask me a question, if you ask me a direct question, almost always, unless there's severe repercussions if I lie or tell the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And like, by severe repercussions, I mean worse than getting fired at my job. Because
yeah,
that's not enough
job.
To get me to lie.
You don't even need your job that bad.
Right. So like, if you have a gun to my head and be like, oh, do you think Lizzo's pretty? I'm going to be like, sure. Like, I'm going to lie to you, right?
That's what it takes, huh?
That's what it
I'll
takes.
I'll kill you if you disagree. Then, yeah, man, I'm on board with it, whatever
she
you
looks
say.
Great. But, like, short of that, like, I'm pretty much going to tell you the truth. And so that's what I was telling my boss when I went in there. I'm like, now's your chance to get me to not show up.
Yeah. I can skip this and just take the whatever talking to later.
The funny thing is, in classic fashion, I'm told to come in early for this meeting. The meeting with the technicians, the same meeting, but it's with the technicians, runs long. So I was supposed to be there at 7:30. I got there at 7:15, waited till 7:25, clocked in, good to go. Wait around for a half an hour. Okay, nothing.
Yep.
Then, because now the technicians have left, now we have to dispatch them all.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who does that? Our dispatcher, who's supposed
yep.
to be in the HR meeting.
Uh-huh.
So I then have to wait until they're all dispatched for this meeting to start. So I get up early, come into work early.
You know what's funny to me?
I can't do anything.
There's only one reason why the meeting would have gone long.
Why is that?
A lot of complaining was happening.
Yeah, so there's more to this story. Because I also heard about what went down in that meeting. As far as that goes, that just shows you where we're at as a company. We're like, we can't get our shit together, or they can't.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, so I'll just come in an hour early for nothing?
Yep.
The meeting didn't start until 8:30, which is when I'm normally scheduled in.
What a great use of time.
And I couldn't do anything because everyone else was in meetings.
Yeah, you can't even accomplish anything.
Nope, there's nothing for me to do. So
that's
I
so
clocked
awesome.
In, ate a fucking donut, and walked around the warehouse talking to people because there's nothing for me to do. The actual productive people are upstairs wasting their time. I'm downstairs because I'm support for them,
mm-hmm.
wasting my time because they're not working, I'm not working. And like, guess what? I just cleaned the warehouse 12 hours ago when I left for work the previous day.
Might as well just do it again, I guess.
Turns
huh?
out overnight when no one's in here, nothing gets fucking used.
Nothing got dirty.
Right. So just like, that just kind of shows you where we're at. But the big thing was the parts. The technicians were also complaining about parts. Several technicians now have had like, I mean, I had it just the other day where like, I got sent down somewhere that was like almost an hour away.
Yep.
This time, the supply house gave me the wrong order.
Of course.
After I told them the PO number,
mm-hmm.
he repeated it back. He gathers all the parts, gives me the thing, and then I get down to wherever the hell it was at. I don't even remember. And it's the wrong stuff. So I go back, and I'm like, he's like, hey, are you back already? Why are you returning that stuff? And I just looked at them. I'm like, you gave me the wrong fucking order. Like, I'm just over it at this point, right? And I'm usually pretty nice to the supply guys, but I'm just, like, kind of pissed off. Because, like, it makes me look like an idiot.
It does. Oh, like, it doesn't. You don't look good.
I don't look good when I get down there. I've got a box full of parts that are not the right thing. So, like, we get that figured out. And before I left, I was like, I talked to the technician. I was like, hey, man, send me a text with everything that you actually need.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going to happen is I'm going to get up there. And, like, I'll grab the right order, but they're going to have ordered the wrong part again, which is what's been happening since I talked about this a few weeks ago, right? It's like, every day. Every day that we're busy, it happens at least once. Obviously, there's some days where we just don't have a whole lot of parts called in.
Yeah.
And so, like, I gather all this stuff up, and I just look down. I look at his list. I'm like, 4-inch no-hub coupling.
Uh-huh.
Look in the thing. 4-inch Fernco coupling. Like, that's the wrong fucking thing again. These guys cannot figure out the fact that there's a difference between a no hub and a Fernco coupling.
Uh-huh.
And, like,
shockingly,
I don't know the practical difference. Like, I don't know the applications of each one, right? I'm not a plumber.
Uh-huh.
But I know they're different fucking parts. And that's all, like, on my end, that's all that matters. And to the supply house, that's all that matters. And the people who order the parts, that's all that should matter. Like, it doesn't matter. The application of the part has no, like, meaning to me at all. Mm-hmm. I just need to get the one that the technician wanted. So, like, I just, boom, right there, called it. Okay, go back there, switch it. So, we're going to rewind a couple days. Same thing happened to another technician another 40 minutes away. Mm-hmm. Literally the same problem, where he ordered no hub couplings and got Fernco's. The funny thing was that, so... Well, we're not quite there yet. This is way dumber than you'd think. Like, it gets way worse.
Mm-hmm.
So that job, like, they eventually figured it out, whatever. That job's done, right? That first order I picked up, going down to the, like, if we're going to go back to where we were, the first one.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw it and I was like, that's weird. That's, like, the same stuff that other technician, I'm just trying to avoid their names.
Yeah.
That's, like, the exact same thing that guy ordered, only they got the no hubs instead of the Fernco's. I was like, what? I guess these are just common parts, right? No, the dude who ordered the parts ordered them from three different supply houses, the same order from three different supply houses in Service Titan, didn't put in the purchase orders for two of them, and didn't tell anyone that he ordered them from three different supply houses. So what I went in there to pick up were the parts from the other technician 3 days ago that were just sitting at the fucking supply house.
Got you. Okay. Great.
Right. That's how stupid this fucking system is. And, like, not only the system or their process, I guess, that where they're doing this stuff, but the people fucking doing it are stupid too. And it's just like, what is going on? Like, you don't know the parts. You don't know the fucking supply houses. You don't know the process for ordering them. Like, you're just calling three supply houses and placing the same order and sending a parts runner to pick one of them up. And just letting the other sit, because that's what happened. Because, like, he asked me while I was there. He was like, hey, there's this order sitting here for a couple days. And, like, I've been told specifically, like, I only pick up the orders I am sent to pick up.
Yes.
Because there's other stuff going on, like, because I see my little part of the picture, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's happened a couple times where they've been like, hey, this has been sitting here a couple days. Do you want to just take it? And I was like, sure. And, like, 10 minutes later, I get a, hey, Matt, did you pick up this thing? Yeah, you didn't. You shouldn't have done that. Because I'm, like, trying to be helpful. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll just run it back to the shop. And it's, of course, that is literally the day they needed it, right? It's been sitting there for a week, and the second I pick it up is when they need it.
Now it's
so I don't do it anymore. And he asked me, he's like, hey, what's going on with this one from, like, a couple days ago? I was like, I don't know, dude. Like, they don't, like, I get the order. I'm, like, I literally showed him my phone. I was like, this is what I get sent to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm here for. None of that other stuff matters. And apparently there was another one too about a fucking toilet, and the guy got shitty with me, and he's like, well, I need to know what's going on with this or canceling it. And I'm like, dude, you already fucked my order up. I'm already an hour behind. I don't have time to deal with this nonsense about this fucking, I don't give a fuck about that toilet. And guess what? That job was canceled, and nobody called in to fucking cancel the order.
Of fucking course.
It was like 2 weeks. So, like, we just have a toilet on hold at the supply house for 2 weeks because nobody canceled the fucking order. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I feel like everybody took fucking stupid pills at our fucking company. Like, it's so stupid. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
That's crazy, because I've been having such a great time at my company. Like, there's a couple of my coworkers kind of suck and they're kind of annoying, but like, for the most part, everything's been going like really good and really smooth, and we just get our shit taken care of.
Yeah, it's just like, I guess the problem I have is this stuff is not rocket science. Like,
it's not even hard.
That's what I mean. Like, it's like, I went down to our main branch and within a few hours was ordering parts, and I'd never done it before.
Uh-huh.
And then I was sent back to my branch, now responsible for ordering parts.
Yeah.
And within a couple tries, I've got it down. And it's just like, how do you fucking suck at something this easy for this long? Like, what the hell is going on? Like, I understand being bad at something you're new at. I do not understand being bad at something you've done for the past 3 weeks that really isn't that hard.
Dude, I don't get it either. The guy that I used to feed with, that he sucked at everything and broke everything. He quit. But, like, yeah, he sucked at feeding. And there was a problem, like, every other time he fed. And I don't understand, because you've been doing it for 3 months. And it's what you do, like, 3 or 4 days a week for 3 months. How are you not just, like, golden at this yet?
Right. It's like you've done this for hundreds of hours at this point.
Like, so what's the problem? Like, I run the mixer, and I have it mixing while I'm loading it, because it's better for the food. But it runs off weights. And while it's mixing, like, it fluctuates, usually, like, between 10 and 30 pounds as it kind of bumps up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And when we load feed in, the way it works is the computer knows how much feed to put in there, and it just runs through the recipes, and it counts down. So it's like corn silage, 4,000 pounds. And as you dump it in, it counts down. Like, I've been doing this long enough, I can almost always get it to stop on 0 or negative 10, which is like 10 pounds over, on a 4,000-pound mix of this ingredient when it fluctuates 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, that's how dialed in I am with this machine, that I can usually get it to stop. Because when you get to 0, it starts counting down for 10 seconds. So, like, you can imagine, let's say it holds at 0 and then it for 5 seconds, but then it shifts and it rolls back up to 10 pounds, it'll reset the timer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get it to 0 to negative 10 on almost all my things. I'm dumping them in 900 pounds at a time, and I can dial it into within, like, usually within 10 or 15 pounds of where I want it to be, with a 30-pound fluctuation.
Meanwhile, this guy doesn't know how to put air in the fucking tires?
Yeah, he can't get air in his tires, which is... I would have felt bad for him if it wasn't who it was, and he didn't treat it like this way himself. So, like, we were wrapping up our meeting, and our boss was like, hey, this is the last meeting with so-and-so, this is his last day, you know, anybody have any, like, you know, like, hey, any fond memories? And I made fun of him about when he broke the mixer for 2 weeks, because he is an idiot. And then for, like, 30 minutes, we just kept listing all the shit he broke for a fucking joke. Like, hey, remember the time that he destroyed the bolts on the trailer? Oh, I do remember that. Hey, remember the time that he ruined the mixer? Yeah. Remember the time that he broke the door on the skid loader? Yeah. Like, for 30 minutes we did that. And
it's fucking hilarious.
We just roasted this fucking guy for 30 minutes and all the shit he fucked up. And, like, normally I wouldn't do that. That's a rude thing. That's a really rude thing to do to somebody. But every time he breaks something, he treats it like a fucking joke. And even in that meeting, he treated it all like a fucking joke. And I know what you're thinking. Maybe he was just kind of laughing along because we're all talking. He doesn't want to make a big scene of it. No, at the end of his last day, he left a little note for us where he chronicled all the things he's broken since he started here. And it was like 5 skid loader tires ruined, so many bolts broken, so many gates destroyed, so many, like, one mixer broken, one engine broken, one transmission. Like, he listed out, and it was a lot of things. Because it's a fucking joke to him. All the things he destroys, it's a fucking joke. Which is why I had no qualms about making fun of him over it.
Dude, I'm 100% on board with your last day of work. They actually hold a roast for you. That's awesome.
We did. We roasted the shit out of him for, like, 30 minutes and just laughed our asses off. But, like,
good.
I mean, he's the worst. But, our, like, the other worker we have... She was working with me on Monday, because I work mornings on Monday now, and she's super friendly. She's super nice, but she's just, she can be difficult to work with sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the thing we're not supposed to do. I bought something for work. I actually do it rarely, but occasionally. And I've been thinking about how I kind of want us to have walkie-talkies, because we get no service at our facility, and especially inside, it's like not just one bar, it's like hard zero.
Yeah.
So I want some walkie-talkies so we can communicate a little better, because it's happened a few times where I need to talk to somebody, and I can't call them because their phone won't ring, and they can't get texts. And some information from them would be really helpful. So I put $40.
Yeah, the place is too big to, like,
well, yeah, I'm doing, track like, I don't, people I don't, down. I can't wander around looking for them.
Right.
So I spent $40, and I bought four walkie-talkies, little cheapo, basically $10 walkie-talkies. I figured we'd try them out for a couple weeks. If we find any value in them, I'll have the farm buy some nice ones for us.
Yep,
so I take them in on Monday. We kind of get them going. It's a little bit of a learning curve with them. By the end of the day, Monday, so 8 hours later, one of them was destroyed.
Yep.
There was, and for perspective, we were only using two of them. It was me and this woman. And she had, while milking, apparently, sprayed it with water by accident, which that didn't break it. And then later in the day, while carrying a bucket of water, she poured it down her overall jeans, or her, she had, we wear like waterproof bibs, but like poured it down her side and into her pocket and flooded it. And now it doesn't work. And like, I took it apart and let it air dry for a couple days and it came back to life, but it literally lasted less than 8 hours.
That's in a bucket of rice.
I mean, luckily, because it's just a motherboard, like nothing on the motherboard was fried. I just let it air out for a couple days, but I bought this thing for the farm for us to use, and you had it for 6.5 hours and you fucking destroyed it.
Yep.
Why is this so complicated?
It's not that fucking hard. Like,
yeah, I was really, part of it was kind of like, whatever. Like, I bought cheapos in case they broke, because like, I'm not going to put a bunch of money into this and then end up getting broken. I'm not going to be upset if I come in tomorrow and two of them are literally melted and caught on fire. But it's like, you can't put any effort into not ruining this thing I bought.
Yep.
Seriously? Okay, whatever. People suck. Are so stupid.
No, dude. It's ridiculous.
It is.
And it's just like, the bar is so low. Like, can you show up to work today and not break something?
That's all it takes. This person, she's a little young to be in the pseudo management role we're in. We're basically managers, because we have a large part-time staff we work with, and the full-timers aren't necessarily management, but we're definitely overall the part-timers, and
de facto management.
Yeah, when I go in on Sunday, when I was in on Sunday this last Sunday, like, I'm the only full-timer here. I make all the decisions. Now I can always call the boss and whatever. But I almost never do. This person will make like 9 calls a night about problems she's experiencing, where she'll need to call so-and-so and ask for help and ask for an opinion and ask for whatever. Like 6, 7, 8 times a night she'll call. And I call maybe once a week if something comes up. Because almost every problem that comes up, you can just, it's, the solution's pretty simple. It's not that complicated.
Yep, but if you make a decision, you might be wrong. And
she's completely incapable of just like addressing a problem and implementing a solution that at least, I mean, because like none of these need to be permanent solutions, like except for the weekends, in which in that case it's 2 days. Every other day of the week, like the manager, the guy who runs the place, will be here tomorrow. Just make it work until tomorrow, because it's 8 o'clock at night. Everyone's asleep or getting ready for bed. Just make it work for 2 more hours, and then they can do it in the morning shift. They can deal with it then. Yep. Leave a note. Tell them about it. It's fine. But she's also, like, she doesn't even send a text. She's also the one that's awful about the number of times that she'll call. She doesn't call me, thank goodness. But, like, she'll call my supervisor, and because he'll tell me what she fucking calls and complains about. And it's like, wow, that could have been a text message at 8:30 at night, couldn't it? And he's like, yeah, sure fucking could have. I could have, you know, like, I was having dinner with my kids, but no, I'll stop having dinner to answer the phone. Because the problem is, like, he's in the position, he has to answer the phone, because the barn could be on fire.
Yep, a cow could be dead. Like, anything could be going wrong.
Dude, so the guy who quit, it's just one of the dumbest things ever you could do, right? So the way our facility is set up, we have some headlocks that are in front of where we dump feed for the cows. These headlocks are sitting in a steel frame on top of a basically like a 2x12 kind of runner, and then about 4 inches of concrete, and then a concrete floor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So steel frame, a little bit of wood, and concrete. We weld the headlocks kind of to the steel frame to kind of make them a little more solid. So apparently, one of the guys was there late, or not late, but in the evening, he'd done some welding, and I'm guessing an ember must have gotten like stuck in between the steel and the wood. So that when they arrived in the morning, there was of this, like, it's like, imagine a 2x12 that's 7 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
A third of it has like burned away. It has smoldered and burned away, and it's smoldering. So the gentleman who quit immediately goes up to the front, tells the other full-timer who's working, the barn is on fire, and then walks away.
Oh, my God.
And then I believe he texted my supervisor, who's number two, and opened with, the barn is on fire. He sent that. He sent, the barn is on fire, end of text, at 4 a.m. When, in fact, there is a small piece of wood that is surrounded by steel and concrete that's kind of smoldering. It's fine. But he,
God.
He runs up to the front office, tells her the barn's on fire, tells his boss the barn's on fire, and grabs a fire extinguisher and pulls the pin and walks away. And yeah, there's a little bit of wood smoldering. Again, surrounded by steel and concrete. You could light a fire where that wood was burning and walk away and it'd be fine. Yeah, that dude's a, people are freaking idiots, man. Holy shit.
Well, speaking of idiots.
Yeah, we have this huge list of people that are they're a key example of how to not be idiots. We do not insult our patrons, Matt.
Yeah, we do. I do.
They are super awesome, and they contribute to the podcast in a very real way, and we appreciate it every single week. So a huge shout out to Asphalt, Emperor, Ramblin' Rogue, Ashley, Eric, Monowolf, Ethan, CJ, Ted, Mumbledown, Rob M, Limit of Questions, Derek T, His Forest, and Jasper. Thank you guys so much. If you're looking at being a part of that Patreon, we do have a private Discord you can hop into. We offer some merch too, basically kind of leftovers from our Magic days, but like Magic themed playmats and some shirts with our logos on them. I basically have them made for cost and sent them out to you if that's something you're interested in. There's some higher tiers that the first month of the tier pays for the thing, and then you get it. We also get, we also record about 30-45 minutes of extra content every week after the episode. We record some more candid stuff and just kind of chit chat a little more about life. So if you're interested in more content, you know, check the Patreon out, patreon.com/cantripcartel.
Or if you're just interested in being insulted by me, you could add yourself to that list of
you can idiots. Yeah, you can join the Patreon and become our highest level of member, such that, or our highest level of fan, such that Matt will take time to insult you.
I will personally insult you if you want me to.
Yeah, if you give a name, I'm sure he'd be happy to.
Yep.
So what I want to talk about this week, because I don't think I've really done very much. I worked this weekend, but I get next weekend off. Pretty excited about that. But I basically just been working a lot with the one guy gone. My schedule's kind of moving around, but I work all mornings now. And one of the nice things about it is I didn't really enjoy, like, doing the work inside the barn stuff is kind of it kind of sucks compared to feeding. So like you have front milking and back milking, where the front milker is the one who, like, preps the cows and puts the machines on. The back milker is the one who's cleaning the pens and bringing the cows up and managing all of that. And so I would feed, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And then I'd do calves one morning and then kind of just fill and do other. And usually once a week I did front milking or back milking. And now I literally just feed. So, like, I look at the schedule and it's like, Jake, Monday, feed. Tuesday, off. Wednesday feed, Thursday feed, Friday feed, Saturday feed, Sunday feed, Monday feed, Tuesday off. Like, that's my life, which is fine. I like getting to work on, like, really honing in a process, making it really nice and efficient. I like having a little more control over what the cows get for food, because I don't trust the other guy to do a good job, because I don't think he did. I also, like, in general, all of our feed is getting a lot cleaner, because I put a lot of emphasis on minimizing food waste when I'm feeding them. I mean, that's, you know, you're scooping things up with skid loaders, so it's not about, like, using a shovel and trying to scrape all, like, trying to minimize food waste takes a little more effort. But if you just keep it up, it's not that difficult. You get some good practices, you can really minimize how much food is being left on the ground and thrown away, essentially.
Yeah. If every 2 or 3 days somebody's not in there fucking the whole, like, ecosystem, for lack of a better word, up, then it's pretty easy to keep up on
it. So we have, the way our feed is stored, we have a big bunker, which is, like, I mean, the concrete walls in this thing are probably 15 feet tall, and feed is is piled into that and then sealed in plastic so that it, the feed we give doesn't, it's fermented. So it doesn't rot, but it ferments. And we'll shave it away and then load it up. The bunker is pretty easy to keep clean because it's all concrete. And you have concrete and walls, and it's relatively easy. The other way we store feed, because we only have two bunkers, and we go through a fuck ton of feed, is we have, I don't know what they're called, but they're basically giant condoms. It looks like it probably looks like a 7 foot tall by 6 foot wide white condom that runs a couple hundred feet, and it's packed with food and then sealed. And then as you're, you know, you shave some off with your knife, you shave some of that outer wrapping off, and you can scoop the food out. And that's a lot harder to keep clean because, like, food rolls over the sides. You know, you have to try and keep – it's hard to scoop food because it's for the most part – right now we're in a nice spot where they're all on concrete. But it's concrete, then plastic, then food. So trying to keep the plastic from getting into the feed, keep the feed from spilling out, it just takes a little bit of effort to kind of manage that all in. And especially those areas, every time he would feed, they would look like trash by the time I got there. And once food sits out for, I mean, in the winter, you can maybe get a day and a half, 2 days. In the summer, now, once it sits out for a day, it's trash. Yep. Once it gets out in the sun and, like, actually gets to get hot and start to rot, it'll rot within a day, maybe 16, maybe 30 hours. And it's useless. So, like, there's constantly just, we're creating huge piles of wasted feed, where he is super sloppy and just leaves it all spilled everywhere and doesn't fucking care about it. Which, like, we've literally had meetings with the head of all the farms that we work with, and, like, feed waste was a huge part of that meeting, where it's like, I've been walking around, you guys need to pay better attention to this, you guys need to work on this. And then he just didn't, and it makes me look bad. So now, that's something I put a ton of effort into, and it looks great. It's actually, it looks fucking, you can clearly tell the day he left. So, just like,
problem solved.
We have one that's like triticale, which is like, it's like a grassy mixture, basically. It's a filler. But that one's on like gravel. So it's much harder to maintain. And you can tell the first like 50 feet of the bag, he was here. And then the last like 10 feet of the bag, the last 10 feet has been used, has been me solo. And you can tell when he left. You can just like be walking, you like, oh, look, there's where it gets clean all of a sudden. That's probably where he left. And it is. So that's what I've been doing. That's mostly what I've been doing. I've been playing a little bit of games. I got back into Ready or Not with a buddy of mine. I found out that our mutual friend, who we got to meet for lunch, also plays Overwatch, and I fucking love Overwatch. So I'm super excited to get back into Overwatch. I did buy Gray Zone Warfare. Basically what happened was I wasn't going to buy it for about 6 months. Most of what I saw about it was people saying it needs some more time. But a friend of mine decided to buy it, and since he bought it, I said, I'll throw $35 at it. I don't mind giving the developers extra money because, one, the game looks good, and I want them to keep developing it. So I'll give them a $35 cash advance. The game is pretty difficult to run if you don't have a nice computer. So, like, we were talking about maybe you getting it, and you won't be able to run Gray Zone. You'll need to have a new computer if you want to get it. It's way too, like, it's for how graphically intense it is, because it's, like, it's a large map that just always exists, and the game has to maintain that in some capacity. It also is very poorly optimized.
Gotcha.
Because it's a relatively small company running it. So on top of having all these huge assets to render out and these huge viewing distances and this giant map that's always running and all this AI to maintain and all these physics to keep going, it's also just not optimized very well. So it's doing all of that inefficiently. So, like, I mean, when Gray Zone, like, they rushed it out, and everyone knows that. And the first thing I saw about when it came out on TikTok was, like, for a day or two, I just saw videos of people being like, hey, are you having awful frames on Gray Zone Warfare? Here's the settings guide you should do. Here's the settings you should change. Like, based on your graphics card even. Like, do you have a 3000 series graphics card? A 2000 series graphics card? A 4000 series graphics card? Here's the changes you need to make. That's all people were talking about on TikTok for, like, the first couple days.
Mm-hmm.
They've rolled out several hot fixes to basically handle, like, game-breaking bugs for people. There's a lot of problems with the game, both in its implementation, in its optimization, in its reliability. Now, that all being said, if you're buying into a game that is in, like, early, early alpha, and also we all know came out 6 months earlier than it was supposed to, because they're taking advantage of the Tarkov thing, none of that should surprise you. Anyone who bought the game and then got pissy about all those bugs and all that poor optimization, I think is an idiot, because you should have known for a fact that was going to happen. The game... that's what a super early alpha is. It's full of fucking bugs. You're paying to be a beta tester. Get used to it.
Yeah, but you get to actually play the game.
But you get to play the game. Now, all that being said, the game's really fun. It's actually an awesome game. It is not Tarkov, and I've seen a lot of this as well. Like, people were talking about, oh, is it the new Tarkov killer? Because they kind of branded it that way, not in their advertising, but in their, everyone's leaving Tarkov, we're going to release our game early to try and get these people.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely sprung onto the scene as very much a Tarkov-esque game right in that time. It's not Tarkov, it's very different. It's a much slower burn, it's much lower intensity, and it's much more casual. Now, me and my buddy play on the PvE servers, so there's three factions in the game that you can be a part of, and when you're playing PvE, you literally can't shoot other players, and you can't even loot other players' bodies. So, like, if I'm rolling through town and I see a dead PMC of any faction, you can't interact with them at all.
Hmm.
It happened multiple times where we'd be doing something, and a PMC from a different faction would roll up, and we'd start talking, because there's voice in-game. It's like, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm working on this. Oh, doing that. And like, okay, well, good luck, guys. I'm heading over here. Because we can't interact with each other in a meaningful way. So, like,
it doesn't... You chat, like, and then you keep doing your thing.
Chat. You can even roll together. Like, it's fine. Like, it's a very casual environment. The AI isn't terribly difficult. It's not, like, jacked up or anything. The healing is pretty straightforward. It's a little confusing, and there's definitely some bugs. But it's you know, we got into several firefights, and we got, you know, like, bruises and bleeds, and we were able to handle them. But, like, me and my buddy, it was Alex, we just, like... For like 90 minutes, we took a helicopter, dropped in, and we're like, what's over here? What's over there? And we just walked around the map for an hour and a half, and it was so much fun. We killed a bunch of AI. The loot is okay. We only went to some shitty areas, but we found some middling loot. All of the guys we fought had middling gear, but you know, like go ahead.
So as far as the gear goes, is it like standardized stuff? Or is there, like, tiers a la, like, Diablo or WoW or RPG stuff where it's, like, white, green, blue, purple, legendary?
No, there's no tiers. Kind of there's definitely things, like, you can, like, so, like, by the end of it, after that 90 minutes, we found an AI at a more kind of clearly heavily defensed area. We kind of fought our way through. And, like, he had an M4 on him. Everyone else is using Kalashnikovs in various states of disrepair. Or maybe, like, a Mosin sniper rifle with no sights. Yep. And this person had an M4 on him. So, like,
now, is, like, every fully repaired M4 the same gun?
Not exactly, but basically. So, I think there's some gunsmithing aspects to Gray Zone. Whereas Tarkov, gunsmithing is a huge part of it. The idea that you take a gun and you put different things on it to change its stats. To make it have less recoil, make it lighter, make it easier to aim, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Gray Zone Warfare has some of that, but not nearly as intense. Gotcha. So for practical purposes, most M4s are an M4.
Gotcha. So, like, basically what I'm getting at is, like, if you put on the same parts on Tarkov and I put on the same parts on Tarkov, we automatically have the same gun.
Yeah.
The same game, same gun, same parts.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. That's like, for example, the way... A good example of how that would change and why I was asking is, like, in Borderlands, you can have the same gun with the same parts, but there's stats in each one, and those have, like, stat ranges, those stat ranges are based on level, and, like...
Yeah, no, nope. But, no, like... An M4 is an M4, it doesn't matter who dropped it. Now, it could drop with a better receiver, or a better grip, or a better shoulder pad, but you can also just get one of those and put it on there.
Gotcha.
And yeah, an M4 is an M4. It fires the same ammo. You know, you could put different ammo in it, but it's all the same. So, like, we found, like, one kind of decent gun. The biggest thing about it, one of the big things. So in Tarkov, you have, like, 40-minute raids, and then you have to get out of there. In Gray Zone, you can just do whatever you want. You never have to leave. You have food and water to maintain, but we found food and water everywhere. We left behind tons of food and water because we don't need it. There's no point. We're full. Mm-hmm. Like, we have full food, full water, and we have, like, 3 extra candy bars and 2 extra water bottles. There's no reason to take this. So you could be out there forever, which is kind of what we did. We just wandered around for 2 hours. Doing the missions, you're meant to, you know, get missions and go in and do it. But we, like, literally didn't even talk to traders. I just wanted to play the game, see what it was. And we had a lot of fun. It was just, again, it was a lot of chill, like, walking through the jungle. And then we'd come up on something, and we'd kind of, like, hone in. Like, okay, be serious. And we kind of move through. And you'd see the AI. You'd flank around them, you know, shoot them, kill them, whatever, yada, yada. And then you'd kind of loot the area. Like, cool, time to go. And, you know, if you're walking through the woods, you pretty much never see any AI. If you want to walk down the street, you'll see a bunch of AI. Kind of, like, little mini patrols hanging out and in points of interest. So you kind of decide what kind of gameplay you want. Like, we walked on the road for a little while, got in some fights, got shot at, and after winning some and running from some, we were like, well, let's just get to this area. And then we just basically took a straight line through the woods and didn't really see anybody after that. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of like playing Ready or Not, but like on an open map, when you're playing against the AI, when you're playing PvE. PvP, I'm sure, would be different, but I don't care. I have no interest in playing PvP, especially after watching all the fucking stank rat TikToks of the dude camping spawns. Because, like, there's known landing zones, and your helicopter always comes to the same place. And, like, I've seen multiple TikToks where he just sits in the trees around them and waits for a helicopter to come in and, like, lets them get out and then shoots them in the head and then goes and takes their gear. It's, like, great gameplay. PvE mode, please.
Right.
But yeah, it's tons of fun. I have a lot of fun. There's a lot of quality of life improvements in Gray Zone Warfare that Tarkov doesn't have. And they're not realistic, but it's just quality of life. So here's a key example. In Tarkov, when you want to, let's say you're in the field and you find a gun, let's say hypothetically you find a gun and you're like, hey, this gun's ammo fits my gun, but the clips don't fit. Well, I could take the ammo out of his clip and put it into my clip. In Tarkov, you have to, like, you'll say unload and you'll hear tick, tick, tick as he's pulling the bullets out, and you just pull every bullet out. And it takes, a relatively realistic amount of time. And then if you want to load a mag, you have to load them in one bullet at a time. Like, the game loads them in the amount of time it would take for you to sit there and load one mag. Very realistic.
Yeah.
Annoying. In Gray Zone Warfare, you can go unload, and it moves the 30 rounds from the mag into your inventory. And you go, and you can drag those over to an empty clip, and it loads them all in. Or an empty magazine. Not realistic. Yeah. Also, just a great quality of life. Like, I don't need to sit here and watch a magazine get loaded for 15 seconds. There's definitely times in a gunfight when that's going to matter, but you both get free reloads, so it doesn't matter as much to me.
Yeah, well, and the other thing to keep in mind, and I'm sure you thought about this, but for those who didn't, like in Tarkov, like you said, since it's like based on the extraction time, right? So you go in there for a half hour, 40 minutes, whatever the fuck it is, like that time is there so that you can't sit around dicking around with your ammo. So that it's kind of like in Magic or any other game, time is actually a resource. So like most of the time, it's not going to make that much of a difference whether or not you reload one or two magazines. But like you can't spend a ton of time doing that, and it's something you have to keep track of.
Yeah,
but it makes sense to time's more valuable. Well, it makes sense if you're going to shift away from that, like the clock is ticking gameplay model, into something that doesn't have that as its focus. Where it's like, well, yeah, why would we make them sit here in the middle of a jungle alone reloading fucking individual rounds into a magazine when it's just like there's no clock ticking?
There's very little to be gained,
right? So let's just cut. It's not creating any tension. There's no like resource management or there's no gameplay value to having you put each individual bullet into the fucking magazine, so let's get rid of it. And that to me is a good change. That like it makes sense in both. Like I can understand why you do that in Tarkov, because like time is a resource.
Yeah. And
especially in a game that's so lethal too, like sitting around fucking around with a magazine in a game that's super lethal and there's time constraints, you don't get to do that very much.
I think it's definitely a big hit to the PvP gameplay, because that's a big thing about managing resources in player v player, is like how many mags you have and managing the bullets in your mag and whatnot, and finding time between fights to keep your mags topped off and yada yada. Whereas that kind of thing just isn't going to happen in Gray Zone. If you get into a player fight with someone, like you guys can each be carrying, you know, let's say two mags and then two stacks of 60 bullets each. So like you can dump two mags into your opponent, turn around a corner, open your inventory, just boom, now you're reloaded.
Yeah.
So like there's a cost to that, but I also haven't played on the PvE servers. Maybe on PvE servers you do have to load them. Maybe you don't know. But especially for PvP, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I'm almost never going to be in a situation where it's going to matter that, like, oh, it would have been a lot more tense if I had to sit here and load my bullets into my mag one at a time, because he's loading the bullets into his mag, and no, I'm fighting AI. Like, this isn't... Fighting AI isn't super tense, because they're kind of crappy AI. They don't have, like, super... Now, I'm just fighting against... I want to say it's Vietnam. It feels kind of Vietnam-y.
Mm-hmm.
But they're basically, like, Vietnam rebels. Or maybe we're the rebel, maybe we're the ones who are breaking in. Who fucking knows? But they're just... They're, like, just private militia, or just dudes with guns. They're not even private militia. So they're not trained. So they don't move in groups. They don't, you know, clear an area. They don't check corners really well. Maybe in the more heavily defended areas, that'll be different. But here, the AI kind of sucks. So the idea that, like, I would be fighting AI, and, you know, I dump a mag into one of them, kill him, go to shoot the other one. I don't have any bullets. Crap, I got to get around a corner, and it's super stressful. I'm reloading. He might be moving up. But no, he's probably standing there talking to me, because they taunt you. It's quite funny, but they taunt you in the game.
Yeah.
Like, in my opinion, the gameplay wouldn't gain enough from what it would lose. But great quality of life improvement, stuff like that.
Yep.
One of the things they've got that's kind of annoying, I don't know if it's on purpose or it's a bug. So there's lots of healing items in the game, and it's a little difficult to know what they all do and how they all interact with each other, yada yada. You can use a healing item, you don't need to.
Oh, just let you take a potion effectively, even if you're at full health.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But even better, I don't think there's a way to cancel the animation. So, like, if you accidentally, like, if you drag a bandage over to you, even though the bandage won't solve the problem you have, your guy will still spend 25 seconds putting a bandage on.
Yep.
Well, it's kind of funny. It makes you be a lot more careful about what healing items you choose to use, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. But I like it. It's definitely a very early game. Like, everything I saw about it was people saying, like, don't buy this game unless you just want to give them some money to keep it going. Because it really probably isn't ready. You know, it's the... We basically saw the beginning. We didn't see the beginning area, but I went back. I played it solo. I saw the beginning area, and it didn't vary greatly from where we were at, like, the last time when I played with Alex, and we were quite a bit farther into the map. We were quite a bit aways from our area. So, like, the gameplay didn't change significantly from one to the other. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it'll kind of stale out relatively quickly, especially playing alone. But for a PvE, you know, looter to go out and play some semi-tactical gameplay, it was a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy playing it. I really enjoy playing it with my buddy, because it was just a way for us to, like, sit at the bar and chit-chat while playing the game, and, you know, just occasionally hone in, because we've got multiple people around us, or we've got a guy coming in from the one door, yada yada. But it's great for that. I had a lot of fun. So if you're thinking about getting Gray Zone Warfare, I would get it under those criteria. That you are prepared for a buggy, unoptimized game that runs poorly on anything less than, like, a 4000 series graphics card, and I mean that seriously. Like, even a 3000 series is going to have difficulty running a lot of this. If you had, like, if you have a 3080 Ti, it won't. But any average middle of the road 3000 series or less, you're going to have considerations to make on, like, graphics quality and whatnot. If you're okay with all that, throwing $35 at it gives them some money, and it is a relatively pleasurable gaming experience. I do like it quite a bit. Now,
cool.
After all that, let's start the topic I legitimately want to talk about. I'll do it quickly, though. We're coming up on an hour in or so. So when the developers of Tarkov came out and shit down the EOD owners' throats for Tarkov, which EOD is probably a relatively is probably a somewhat small percentage of total people that have played Tarkov, but is a relatively high percentage, I would argue, of people that still play Tarkov. Most people that play Tarkov have Edge of Darkness. They paid the bunch of money. They're in for the long haul.
Yep.
And then he came out and he crapped on us. And over the course of 3 or 4 days, we rose enough of a ruckus that he dialed back everything he said and eventually gave us pretty much everything we asked for, mostly. For perspective, I think everything that he talked about that, like, Unheard Edition gets, all, like, the cool items, except for maybe some of the cosmetics and the different name and who cares about stuff,
mm-hmm.
will be available in-game through quests, so you can earn it. He also came out and said that the little box or thing that makes scavs not shoot at you, AI scavs, is going to be for PvE only. They're going to remove that from the PvP servers. So that's a big that's a win for us. Everyone was complaining it's kind of pay to win. The idea that you can just pay a bunch of money and now you have this thing that keeps sniper scavs from shooting at you, which is a pretty big thing when you're roaming around or in a gunfight.
Especially, that's been relegated. when you're charging that on top of people who've already effectively paid to win. Not to say that they're, you know what I mean, though? It's like, I already gave you $150. If there's a pay-to-win thing, why am I not getting that? Because I feel like I paid it, I bought in. Yeah. So, like, I should get the wins, right?
I think pretty much everything he offered is going to be available, at least, like, pay-to-win or like, items you could get or get. Like, that's all available in the game through quest lines. Where was I going with this? I had a follow-up thought to this. It doesn't matter, I guess. But he... and then, like, Edge of Darkness owners get pretty much everything of it, like, when it's available. So, pretty much everything we wanted, we got. I don't know. So soon after Nikita with Tarkov fucks up, Sony with... I don't remember who made Helldivers, what company. But they were published by Sony. And Sony made them make an announcement that said, going forward as of, like... I think May 7th, I think it was today or yesterday or tomorrow, one of them. Anyone buying, I'm pretty sure the way it worked was, anyone buying Helldivers had to have a PlayStation Network account to be able to play it. And then as of, I think it was at the end of this month, so at the 30th, any existing owners of Helldivers had to have a PSN account linked or they couldn't play it. And the gaming world went fucking insane. The Helldivers community was very against it. I did see some people talking about, like, man, why are you complaining so much? It's such a dumb thing to complain about. And part of it, I get where they're coming from, where a group of people would say, man, what a dumb thing to complain about. You have to link a PSN account. They're free, and it only takes, like, 5 minutes to make one. Both those things are true. But this is just
under
more
the right
on the
circumstances.
It's also more on a slippery slope. Like, another argument that I've heard against people complaining about this is, this is by no means the first game that's done that. Lots of games require you to have a dedicated account to play it. Dude, when I got Modern Warfare 2, I had to give them my fucking phone number to make an account, which is ridiculous.
Just insane. Yeah.
It's insane. And this is just one more. So there's, you know, a lot of the people are complaining that you've already been doing all these things as gamers, as a gaming community for years. Why is this the one that, you know, pushes you over the edge? And to that I say, like, just because you've been making a mistake for a long time doesn't mean you have to keep making it. Like, it's okay to at any point put your foot down on something that's wrong, even though you've been endorsing it for the last couple years. It's completely appropriate
not even
to say, you know what,
you've been
enough
putting
is enough.
Up with it.
Yeah. Like, enough is enough. I'm done. The other thing about it that people got people really upset, PlayStation Network accounts aren't available in every country that Helldivers was available in. There were a lot of people that were going to legitimately just lose access to the game. I don't have any great countries off the top of my head other than the one I can tell you about because I remember seeing an article about it, including a response from, like, Sony Entertainment customer service. Someone in Ukraine had reached out and said, hey, I live in Ukraine. I can't make a PSN account here from your website. What do I need to do? Or something like that. And Sony responded saying, you can only, in your country, you can only make a PSN account from a PlayStation Network device, like a PS4 or a PS5. So he or she had to buy a PlayStation to make an account to play the game he paid to play.
Yeah.
It all gets worse, in my opinion. So more information came out from somebody, either higher up at the company that the developers or PlayStation, Sony, I don't know who it was, saying that when the game released, he or she or they knew this was going to be a thing, and they intentionally withheld that information when they released it to presumably help sell more copies.
Well, almost certainly to sell more copies.
This game, like, it was very intentionally released on Steam in all of these countries that they knew a PSN account could not be created in. And to double down on that, they also removed it after the fact from all those countries. Once this announcement was made, they went into Steam accounts and removed the ability to purchase the game in those countries. So, an incredibly, incredibly scummy, borderline illegal thing to be doing to people. Just taking money from people and then denying them the service they paid for in that they get to play the Helldivers game on your servers. That's what they paid to do. The Helldivers page went from being, like, overwhelmingly positive, 99.9% positive reviews, and then 2 days later, I want to say the number I saw was, like, 17% of the last 250,000 reviews were positive. meaning that in like 3 days, 250,000 reviews were posted, and 83% or so of them were negative. The community as a whole fucking flamed that game, and Sony came out approximately 3 or 4 days after this all started, and they said, all right, you know what? We're removing that requirement. You do not have to have a PlayStation Network account to play Helldivers. Please stop killing our game.
Yeah, and to me, I look at this and I'm just like, there's one phrase that comes to mind, and I'll probably butcher it because I don't remember the exact quote, but it boils down to this. If buying your game doesn't mean I own it, then pirating isn't stealing it.
Oh, it's, yeah. Are you referencing the thing I sent you?
Well, I've thought.
Have you heard it before?
I've heard it before, and I've supported.
So
without getting into detail, I've never been a big fan of IP, just in general, like the concept of intellectual property.
Yep.
So like, I look at this and I just go, well, this is the ultimate end result of all those, hey, you're actually just buying a license to play the game and we can revoke it at any time.
So to piggyback off of that and to go a little deeper into it, that concept. So I want to say it's the CEO of Ubisoft came out. This was a few weeks or a few months ago and made a statement that has been quoted into Oblivion. And the quote was, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but gamers need to get used to not owning the games they buy or owning their games. In reference to the fact that almost all games these days are purchased, you know, through an online client.
Digitally, like
digitally through Steam or through Ubisoft or through whatever, you know.
The PlayStation Network.
PlayStation Network, Battlestate games, basically through your launchers. Like you don't go to GameStop to buy Call of Duty anymore. You go to Steam and buy it. And the premise, I don't know if this happened before or after, but it probably happened before, and the CEO made the comment in reference to this. But if he didn't, then it was just perfect timing that I think it was on Ubisoft. There was a game that was out, and either it was old or not very popular. Couldn't tell you which one. And they shut down the servers for it. It was an online-only game. Now, there were people, obviously some amount of people loved playing the game. They enjoyed it. They were working on a offline mod so you could play the game offline on basically your computer as a server because you love playing. I mean, they did it with fucking Tarkov where they made it to where I was talking, the friend I was talking to, like they basically changed the coding of it so that when, I don't know how they do it, but when the game reaches out to the internet to find a Tarkov server, it reroutes it back to your computer and then it receives it and makes a server off of your computer, which is awesome.
Yeah, there but you go.
There were people who were making an offline mode for the game. Private people or people modding games privately is huge and impressive. Ubisoft went into people's libraries and removed the game from it. No refund issued, no fanfare. No, it was like you just go to your library, your Steam. It wasn't Steam, but just for perspective. You go to your Steam library, you scroll down, and all of a sudden, Dark Souls 3 isn't there anymore. I don't own that game anymore, even though I paid $50 for it. I couldn't tell you that was before or after, but that coincides very well with his statement of you just need to be more comfortable not owning your games. And it's like, well, if I'm not owning them, why am I buying them?
Yep.
Because I don't. I sent it to Matt, and it wasn't the first time he ever thought of it, but it was someone who'd made a post on like Twitter or whatever. And it's like, if buying a game means I don't own the game, then pirating the game means I didn't steal the game.
Yep.
Something like that. And like, we're getting into really weird territory with game developers where, like, they feel comfortable declaring outright that, yeah, I know you paid $60 for the game, and that was basically an agreement that you could play the game forever. You have access, in my opinion, like, when I pay $60 for a game, let's say, to make things simpler, a game that has offline playability, like, let's say Dark Souls 3,
sure. Like,
I have now purchased a lifetime license to play the software Dark Souls 3. That's what I own now. And the person at Ubisoft was coming out and saying that that's not the case. That he doesn't feel that's the case and that gamers should get more comfortable with that in mind. And my response to that is, go fuck yourself. I'll stop buying your games then. And that means I start pirating them. Like, that people are just going to start pirating them more often.
The funny thing is, not morally, but factually, he's right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to just change. Like, this, the fact of the matter is, and Helldivers basically proved this, you don't own your games.
Yeah, they can make changes to the condition of playing the game such that you're not allowed to play it, and I mean, we don't know if there was going to be legal ramifications. There could have been, but they felt pretty comfortable significantly changing the requirements to play the game, such that
after you bought it,
after you paid for it, such that many people in the world would not be able to play the game they purchased anymore.
Yeah,
that's huge. That's again, that, I mean, that would be like,
you, I mean, it's fraud, is what it is.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like you know, I mean, like, let's say hypothetically, I buy you a copy of Tarkov so we can play offline. I buy you the $40 base game. I buy you the $15 expansion. We play it for 3 months, and then Battlestate comes out and it goes, actually, if you aren't willing to keep a credit card on file with us, you can't play the game anymore. And it's like, what are you fucking talking about? I'm not saying that PSN requires you to have that. I'm making it absurd.
Yep.
But you don't get to sell me a product and then later, after I purchase it and own it, put stipulations on what I can and can't do with it. It would also be like, I have my truck. Let's say, hypothetically, I pay my truck off this year. And then next year, the bank who would give me the money for it came. I was like, hey, did you get your oil changed every year like you're supposed to? Because if you didn't, we're gonna take the truck away from you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't. I own the truck. Leave me the fuck alone. And that's why I want to say, that's why I want to say to PlayStation, like, if they wanted to put a, we recommend you make a PSN account and link it, that'd be fine. And every time I logged into my Helldivers account, I would say, fuck off, PlayStation, and play the game.
Well, it would also be different, although not a whole lot better, if that was a precondition to playing the game and they made it known.
Oh, it would,
like,
it,
if
it
you buy this different game, you cannot play it unless you create a, because I mean, functionally, that's every single game on a PlayStation network. You can't.
Yeah,
I can't operate my PlayStation without a PlayStation Network account, right?
Yeah, well, you so can't, like, have, you every can't do game anything on online, right, without their paid service?
Well, you can do some stuff, and there's they have, like, a free version that gives you access to a couple things. But, like, in general, though, what I'm getting at is, like, the precondition for any PlayStation game that you want to buy is to have a PlayStation Network account.
Yeah.
Like, it's already, like, that fact already exists for me. Mm-hmm. So it's not a huge leap for me to go, okay, well, if I need a PlayStation, and it's the same thing with, like, EA has this, like, Battlestate. If you want to play Tarkov, you have to create a Battlestate Games account.
Yeah, and you have to, like, run it through their Battlestate launcher. You can't download the game of Tarkov and launch it from your computer. You have to launch it from the Battlestate game launcher.
Right. These are things that everybody, it's the same thing with any MMO. You've got mm-hmm. the Blizzard launcher, Final Fantasy XI, Final Fantasy XIV. Like, all of them, they all have these things. So this is something that, the funny thing is, from, like, a, like, stupid corporate stooge kind of thing, I can kind of see it, where he's just like, what? It's kind of like the Diablo 3 or Diablo Immortal, what, you guys don't have cell phones? That kind of thing, where the guy's just so out of touch with, like, where the community's at, and he misses one key point, where it's like, you have to do this before I buy it. You don't get to retroactively go, by the way, if you want to continue using that product you paid for, you need to now do X.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you don't.
When I bought it, the X was give you $40.
Yeah. I have met all the criteria to have access to your content.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, you no longer have a place in my life.
Now, if he wants to go, for example, this needs to happen. If you are unwilling to do that, file for a refund and we will honor it.
Yeah.
That's also acceptable. Like, hey, this is what we're doing. Get on board with it or get out.
Yep.
Fair enough. No, it's stupid. No. I don't agree with it, but fair enough.
Yeah, you at least get your money back. But no, like,
Steam, you don't get to keep my money and Steam not let me play.
Steam didn't release any, because Steam has, like, a two-hour gameplay limit on refunding a game. And, there was nothing in that about how, you know, hey, we've worked with Steam, and if it's no longer in your offer in your area, then we'll refund. No, like, you still hope that Steam offers you a refund for the game you're not allowed to play anymore.
And if you escalate it, for example, say you did a chargeback, I guarantee you if you do a chargeback for Steam, they ban your account.
Oh, and you lose access to all your games forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which 100%. they can also do at any point in time.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Matt's not wrong. Like, the idea that you own your games, it just isn't the case anymore. Unless you still, like, if you buy a PS5 and you go buy the disc, presumably they, like, if you go buy a Dark Souls 3 disc, presumably, Capcom doesn't run it. Who runs Dark Souls?
Bandai Namco.
Yeah, Bandai Namco. Yeah. Presumably, they can't stop you from playing Dark Souls 3. Whereas, presumably, Steam could remove it from my account, and I don't have it anymore, and I can't play it. Yeah. So, like, it's just the world we live in now, and the way I play games, at least. Yeah, like, you don't. I like to think we do, and there's kind of this, it might be written down somewhere, but I haven't read it, so I'm going to say it's in this unwritten contract between me and all these development agencies and this game platform that sells the games and all the publishers, that when I give you money for the game, I now essentially own access to the game forever, and I'm allowed to play it forever. Now, there's the understanding that servers will be shut off eventually. Like, you know, if they were to shut off the Dark Souls 3 servers tomorrow and you can't play Dark Souls 3 online anymore, I'm not going to be upset about it. The game came out, what, 8 years ago, 9 years ago? They've had two or three games that come out since then. I get it. I can't play online anymore. There's no way for me to hop into a hosted server by Bandai Namco and play with other people. That's fine. I get it. But I get to play Dark Souls 3 still. I still get access to the game. I still get to go fight Pontiff Sullivan. And that's another one of the, like, the things I'm not super happy about in general with online-only games. Like, I never loved the idea of an online-only game. Like, Overwatch is a great example. I love Overwatch. I really don't like that there's literally no way for me to interact with Overwatch if I don't have internet. Or if Overwatch shuts, like if Overwatch went bankrupt tomorrow and no one picks up the servers, there's no way for me to interact with that content. I understand the premise of Overwatch is playing like 5v5, 6v6, whatever, but I can't even like go and shoot AI for fun. And I hate that. I hate, like, in my mind, the way Overwatch, because like Overwatch has like training, like they have like training against AI. You can play in lobbies of AI. I should be able to do that stuff offline. I should be able to unplug the internet from my computer, hop on, and like practice my shooting and get better. And you can't. You have no way to access Overwatch without internet. And that's ridiculous.
Yep. That was, that's basically Blizzard's downfall as far as that stuff goes, was WoW. Because then when Diablo 3 came out, it was online only, and that was a huge deal. And the funny thing was, it's especially bad with Blizzard because they are fucking notorious for fucking their launches up. Yeah. So, like, Diablo 3 comes out, and Diablo 2, you could play online through through Battle.net. Diablo 3 comes out, and it's online only. And then their servers can't handle it because they underestimate, like, literally what was at the time the best-selling PC game of all time.
Yeah.
Like, Diablo 3 broke all kinds of records, right?
Yeah, it was insanely popular. And they just
and you can't play it.
Yep.
So you bought it. It's like, wow, I sure wish this had an offline mode.
Uh-huh. So I can at least, like I said, just so I can experience the content. I get that it's different or it's not what the creator wants or it's not the permanent increase. It won't transfer to my online account. I just want to experience the content, please.
Yep.
So, you know, that's all annoying. But to wrap it all back in, like, a huge win for gamers. Like, we came together as a community. This is twice now recently. And, like, we put pressure on a relatively small developing company, Battlestate Games. And then we put pressure on one of the biggest companies, Sony, and we won. And we, you know, we didn't ask for anything ridiculous. We didn't ask for games for free. We just asked for you guys to honor the deals you made with us. And pretty much both companies have come out and said they will honor the deals they made with us, which is pretty awesome. I'm really happy about that.
They both did the bare minimum.
Yeah, after we twisted their arms hard enough to probably dislocate them.
Hey, can you not commit fraud to this player base?
Do I have to? What if I wait for 4 days and see if you guys give up on it? Okay. Right.
I guess I won't steal directly from you guys.
Yeah, literally what happened. But they made the right call in the end, I guess. So give your developers a healthy dose of skepticism and wariness. I guess, as I say developer, I will put the caveat that I don't think the developers of Helldivers were involved in this. I don't think this was anything they wanted to do. I think a relatively small team made the game, and they were kind of forced, or they had to work with a publisher, and they are kind
Arrowhead
of,
Game Studios.
Arrowhead kind of got hamstrung by what their publisher, Sony, forced them to do, and, you know, whether we don't know how much they were bargaining behind the scenes on our behalf or against us. There's obviously no way of knowing that, but I like to think that, you know, they just... Like the head developer came out and he was like, I just want to make good games. He said some stuff and the end of it was like, all I want to do is make good games. I don't always believe people, and you shouldn't, but like they said that this is a Sony thing. We don't want to do this. We didn't decide this. Sony wants this. And he ended one of them. Like, it was a very, very quoted tweet where it's like, I just want to make good games. That's all I fucking care about. And presuming he's not lying, which hopefully he's not, like, he's just being kneecapped by the publisher he's working with, and gamers revolted en masse and were able to push back against it. And hopefully in a very meaningful way that, you know, like, precedents get set, and hopefully this is a precedent that has been set.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But we are getting a little long. We do have our Patreon-exclusive content to record. I will say, as we get to the end of our episode, we normally would not be recording an episode next week. It's our week off. But I think what's going to happen is we're probably going to put an episode out next week, barring any crazy complications. And then we're going to skip 2 weeks, most likely skipping the 21st and the 28th. Matt has some personal business going on, at least the 28th for sure. And we think also the 21st. So
I'm going to be like out of town, basically. So I'm going to be unable to record.
Unwilling to record. He's definitely able to.
Unable.
You can record on your phone.
I'm going to be in the mountains, dude. I don't even know if I'm going to have service.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's not unreasonable for me to say, especially on the
28th,
on one of them, that I will be basically unable to record.
So we're probably going to take those 2 weeks off. We're going to record next week, hopefully, and then we'll be taking off the 21st and the 28th. Matt, as the episode comes to an end, was there anything else you'd like to talk about this week?
No, nothing in particular.
Alrighty. Well, if that's the case, I think we will head on to the Patreon exclusive content, and we'll see everybody else next week.
Yep, have a nice night, guys.
Welcome, step on in to the Cantrip Cartel. Jake and Matt chatting meta games, we're slinging some spells, casting ales, sipping on blue soup and parting some veils. Glimpse of nature once upon a time, they're telling the tale of the elvish visionaries on the wildwood prairies, where the brainstorms are so fearsome, so scary, so legendary. Queering rangers cross the sylvan libraries, for when the greens and zenith would parry the clouds and turn their swords into plows. Let them rotate the crops, abundant growth in the ground. Nourish the life from the loam until it flourished unbound. Seeds of innocence burnished all the birch lorien mounds. Gaia's cradle exhaled, carpet of flowers unwound, birds of paradise sang, tropical islands of sound. Allosaurus shepherd danced on dinosaur stomping grounds. Jake and Matt pondered deeply all this magic they found. Through their visions doused in serum, they saw only for how to convey these magic stories aloud to the crowds, the masses. Make the voices heard, share the truth, the magic. Through ancestral visions, they felt compelled to draw every single card with the Cantrip Cartel. Draw cards with the Cantrip Cartel. Drawing cards with the Cantrip Cartel.